this place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like has died. But hope is alive, hope feels on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are weak, hope makes us strong. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are waiting,
welcome to Hope is Alive, and we thank you for joining us here tonight. And good evening, Mr. Cox. How are you this evening?
Well, good evening. I'm blessed, and I know you are too.
Got to make sure you hit the right button there, or the CD keeps playing. My apologies. Sorry about that. We'll try it again. Good evening, Mr. Cox. Sorry about that.
Good evening again. From Oklahoma.
Great, great. And I saw some pretty serious weather. Tornadoes and a mess ripped through Oklahoma this week. I hope you guys were spared and blessed.
Well, we were taking authority, and sure enough, they went south and north of us. Just as Jesus commanded the storm to be still, we find we have that ability to speak in his name. And I've heard many testimonies of when people would see a tornado coming right at them, and they would take authority over it and command it to dissipate or turn, and sure enough, it would. So I'm still having to pinch myself on really how much power we really do have in Jesus' name if we'll use it and apply it.
Amen. Amen. Well, Chris had wanted to be here, but I know he had his... I should ask, Chris, are you there? Because I didn't get to talk to him earlier, but I think he had some family things he had to do tonight that had popped up, but I'm sure glad to be here. And I know we have a couple of testimonies lined up. I think Kim calling in here in about 10 minutes or so, maybe.
Right, from Wichita,
okay.
Kansas.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, great.
Well, we had 14 cases, no, actually 15 cases Monday night, exorcisms and healings. There was actually one earlier in the afternoon. We just had 14, actually, at the Monday evening session. We had one man came in from California and two from Connecticut, and they drove, if you can imagine that, 2.5 days to come for ministry. And, of course, I tend to minister to people when they come so far. I have a place in my heart for them that they're certainly reaching out to come that far. And so I ministered to one of them, this man from Connecticut, and I was able to get the head demon up, which doesn't work with everybody. The head demons are there in everyone, but some people are just not sensitive enough to where I can get it up and interrogate it as a prisoner of war. I was in this case, and the head demon was a destroyer. It had an executive officer, which was fear, and there was a total of 42 demons present in this spirit-filled Christian. And I found a number of generational curses that still needed to be broken, even though we'd gone through the door-closing prayer. Sometimes you've got to get more specific in the generational curses and which side of the family and all that, and to get them broken. And his family had chronic knee problems for years. And the demon disclosed about that, so we dealt with that and canceled it out. And I even interrogated the demon, when you're gone, will the healing be there? And it admitted yes. I haven't had a chance to talk to him. Yeah, that was just Monday, and they've been driving back, but I'm going to give him a few days, and I expect to hear his knees are healed. He also had a chronic cough that bothered him a lot, and that was coming from the demon. So, you know, there's what hits a guy, if you do this long enough, and I've been doing it 38 years now, it starts soaking in that there's a lot more problems going on in our lives than we've realized. It's actually coming from the demonic. The good news, though, being in Jesus' name, like Luke 10:19, we have all power over the enemy. It's just that we've got to use it, and we need to put that power on the target, typically, and get very specific at times. So it's exciting to learn this, and we can speak directly as Jesus commanded us in John 14:12. He said, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also." And so, sure enough, we find in his name we can do it.
How about that?
It's an amazing thing to get hold of. And while prayer is important, certainly in deliverance and physical healing, We're seeing over and over that we have the ability to speak directly to it and see it immediately happen. And of course, where there's infirmity spirits involved, we cast those out, and then we speak healing, just as Jesus did in Luke 13. He did the same thing of casting a spirit out of this woman that had, as he said, she'd had it 18 years put on her by Satan.
Yes.
He cast it out, and then he also laid on her hands for healing. Of course, she was made whole. And that's a good pattern for all of us to remember to do and apply as needed.
Right. And, you know, as Christians, maybe we haven't done that in the past. But we are, as born-again Christians, we are a new creation, and we are to be growing and learning, growing in his grace and knowledge. And when it says it right there in the Bible, that for a Christian, it should be pretty hard to argue against it. We should just take it as, you know, and have faith in that. And if we do, I've found, if you have faith in it, in what is good and right and proper and biblical, and we know the enemy has come along over the last few generations with the onset of this this massive media that we have, and they have taken the enemy it's like sowing the tares in the field. An enemy has done this. They have come in and they have perverted in the minds and in the eyes of the people what is good and right and proper in the scriptures. And that's something that as I'm coming along in this, I'm seeing that's what the enemy has done, is they've come in and taken this deliverance, exorcisms, casting out demons, and they've mocked it and they've perverted it in their movies and their media to where there's a lot of people that just don't know what to think, and they have this perception of it, but it's a wrong perception. It's a perception that the enemy has put in their mind's eye instead of reading what the Word says. And you know, Mr. Cox, you're absolutely right. Christ spoke to the demons, and he said, "Who are you?" The demon said, "Legion." And he said, "Go." And the demon
Amen.
Left. And now that is the gospel. If we believe John 3:16, if we believe John 1:1, if we believe the Bible, we have to believe that. And that's just what it was. And if it was then, it is now. We talked on our prayer meeting tonight that, you know, it was a problem. A man had a problem trying to get his driver's license for 25 years. For 25 years. That's not a physical problem. And John, in the prayer tonight, brought that out. He said, you know, Lord, this is a spiritual problem. This is a, you know, this is a hindrance. There's something else there. And that's exactly what it is. It's nothing
like
to fear. It sounds demonic. Nothing to fear. It's something that we have power and authority over. Not in a prideful sort of way, but in the way that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. And the example he gives is, you know, he humbled himself to wash the dirty, filthy, stinking feet of his apostles.
You
know, that's the spirit that we do have this power and authority in.
There's a scripture we teach our teams, people that go through our training, to memorize and start saying it out loud a lot. You know, the more you say a scripture, the more it tends to sink into your spirit, man.
Yes.
And that's Luke 10:19, where in the name of Jesus we do have power over all the enemy, and nothing shall harm us. Now, when that really sinks in and the person buys that as the truth, well, you're going to have the security to step out in a demonic arena, and with all power, you can blow those things away.
Yes.
But you do have to get that inside of you and to be part of you to accept that as the truth and then utilize it. Say it out loud. You know, it performs itself. When Christians say it, it goes forth to accomplish that for which it is sent. And it is an awesome passage that we use. I quote it numerous times in every ministry session because it rattles the cage of the demons. And it also does something else. When they hear a Christian say that, they realize, oh, this Christian has read the book. He knows who he is. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? They know who we are. They're just hoping we haven't learned it yet. Well, when you quote that out loud, it starts sinking into the demons that we know who we are.
Yes.
They lost at the cross. They know that.
Amen.
But through their deception, most Christians have not got a handle on that.
Yep. Amen.
So anyway, this case Monday.
Well, I see the phone line ringing, and it's about quarter after.
Oh, okay.
Let's see who we've got on the line. Good evening. Welcome to the Hope is Alive program.
Good evening.
Hi, is this Kim?
Yes, it is.
Well, Kim, welcome to the program. Mr. Cox is on the line, and glad to have you tonight.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Kim. We're excited you're here to share. I asked Kim to call in to kind of share how she had first learned about deliverance and some of the experiences that she may have had with it. To me, testimonies are, you know, we read the Word, but when you hear the testimonies of how the Word actually works, that builds additional faith. So, Kim, could you share with us, how did you first learn about this works of Jesus? It's called deliverance and physical healings.
Well, it started whenever I had a family member that was in need of some help, and our family thought that he was just suddenly suffering a mental breakdown or mental disorders of some sort, and we started looking for help from the medical community. and had been through several hospitals all across the nation. And I even went back to school to learn how to help him because he wasn't receiving any help from the medical community. And we just were not finding any help there. So started praying about it and started reading about how somebody could become demon-possessed or suffer mental illness or other kinds of illness, you know, that couldn't be helped through the medical community. And just through the leading of the Lord, I had gone through several seminars and such, and as I was learning how to help him, I started getting deliverance as well. And, you know, things I had suffered with for years of anxiety or maybe some bouts of depression every once in a while just seemed to disappear as I started learning more and more how to help my family member. I started seeing signs of healing and deliverance myself, which was really, you know, it was not anything I had ever learned about in church, but just through the leading of the Lord and through different teachings of different people, I was able to help both my family member and myself. So it was really, really wonderful to watch the Lord work. You read about it in the Bible, but to see it come to life and then practice in your own life is really, really amazing to see.
Yes, that is awesome. That's when it really sinks in how real it is, you know, when it happens with your family and even with one's own self. And mm-hmm. then you realize, of course, there's people all around us that have those same kind of problems that are not getting any help. And someone like us that's starting to learn about this can apply the power and help them. So if you've been able to help people right along then, Kim?
Yes, and after, you know, after starting to feel some healing with him, with my family member and then with myself, and starting to tell other people about, you know, what I was learning and how to apply the Bible to your life and see the healing and deliverance, just started getting more and more people calling me for help. And so I was, you know, just helping other people in the community. And if somebody would hear somebody that needed help, they would refer them to me. So it was kind of funny because they would stop by work and ask for prayer, or I would meet them after work and just saw, you know, a lot of different healing. And similar to what, you know, you do in your own deliverance ministry, we were doing similar, my ministry partner and I were doing similar deliverance type practices where, you know, just that asking the Lord to remove things through repentance, and because through our sin, it has that open door there, and then as we do our repentance and ask the Lord to remove it or rebuke it, that ground is gone and it has to release then. And I would sit with people, and as you, and I'm sure you witnessed this yourself, you'll sit across from somebody, and as you're working through this repentance, they start to change. Their face starts to change. They become more relaxed, and by the end of the session, they look like a completely different person. And just the glow and the beauty of this person that God created is amazing to watch.
Oh, it is so true. I've seen that so many times. In fact, in our former location, we used to have a mirror on the wall, and I was constantly having people go look at themselves.
They look completely different. A lot of times, just more relaxed, and many times years younger, you know, and a person who comes in with a lot of bitterness and everything, and you know, by the time it's over with, they don't remember why they were even angry, you know. So it's just amazing to watch the Lord work through a lot of those things.
I kind of call it a Jesus overhaul, Kim.
Exactly.
And we'll get to see that happen so typically in one evening of ministry that it just blows us away. So few Christians ever get this kind of ministry. You're up in Kansas. Of course, we're down here in Oklahoma. But it mm-hmm. seems like when you look at the body of Christ as a whole, that it's a small percentage of people that actually get freed up. Have you seen that as well?
It is, and as I've been studying through some of that, you know, my ministry partner and I we would pray and ask the Lord, in our opening prayer, the Lord had us change the opening prayer to where it deals more with calling on His name and His power and His attributes and such. So that was a big help. But also, as I see people, they get some freedom and then seem to get tangled up again. Sometimes I start at that point looking for, is there a generational curse or is there a curse of some sort that is allowing this to come back on the person? And so just kind of untangling some of that as well will help the person to get a more permanent freedom. And then also the knowledge that, you know, we are to be in the world but not of the world. There's a lot of things that we're going to have to say goodbye to, you know, that were maybe tangling us up in the past. So, you know, we're called to walk a holy life because our Lord is holy. And so there are a lot of things that are in the world that are just not good for us and can get us tangled up again, you know. And if we know we have a weakness in a certain area, that's probably a good place to start with walking away from it. Gossip or pornography or drugs or, you know, once they get that initial freedom, you know, they're going to need to be cautious to steer clear of those things.
Yes, they still have to make choices. I tell people after casting the demons out, like pornography and drugs or alcohol, that they have still, though, got to make choices. And especially if they've been running with a drug crowd or alcohol crowd, it's time to change your crowd. You know, it's time to associate with Christians and find a church that you're comfortable in, a Bible-teaching church, and plug in and get new kinds of fellowship, because, like you said, that's not where you want to go. You know, my mom was always saying, I still think back, she was always saying, you tend to become like who you run with, and that still applies. That is so true. Because you're likely to have transference of spirits and everything else that goes on if you run with the wrong crowd.
Exactly. Or that soul tie will start to draw you in.
Yes.
Again.
Right.
And things that you thought you were free of start to sneak back in again. And so then you have to ask the Lord, where in the world is this coming from? You know, because it is, we are flesh and blood, and the Lord knows that. But we need to be vigilant, too, to not get drugged back in again.
Yes, Richard was quoting Ephesians 6, 12 earlier, and I think it's interesting to note that when Paul was saying that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against these principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, the world, spiritual wickedness in high places, the demonic world out there. Paul was speaking to Christians at Ephesus when he said that. He wasn't speaking to the world as such. He was speaking to Christians. And, you know, we need to be hearing that more in the churches today. As Paul said it, the pastors need to be saying it more from the pulpit and warning the people and the congregations that weird things going on in your life when things are overboard, out of balance, reoccurring and tormenting like, it's highly suspicious. There's an evil spirit behind it, but of course that's good news. You discover that because in Jesus' name we can do something about it and see him set free from that problem often in one session.
Exactly. And it's wonderful to know, too, that you don't have to live like that, even though it has gone on in past generations or your parents have struggled with it. It's not something that you're going to need to continue forward into your family bloodline. So it's wonderful to see a lot of things. And even as I was going through my own deliverance and praying over my family, it was amazing to see the relationships restored and, you know, broken relationships that had been stressed for years to start to heal and come back together again. So the Lord works not only on your things, but he will also work on your family as well as you start praying for yourself and your family to start that restoration process.
You probably got into breaking ungodly soul ties, keeping the godly soul ties, but breaking the ungodly ones. Is that kind of what happened there with your family?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's something we would take people through as well when we would do deliverance with them, is to break those ungodly soul ties. And it's, you know, it's a foreign topic to most people. Unfortunately, it's not taught in a lot of places, but they would see just a dramatic effect as they would break those soul ties, or people that they were carrying anger and unforgiveness for, and then breaking that and the ungodly soul ties as well. You just see a release come on them, and then you start to see relationships healed. And as I was, and you and I had a conversation before where that, you know, I would think that one person was going to be coming to my house for deliverance, and I'd open the door and there'd be six people there, or, you know, and then I had to move to a church to start teaching it as well. And we would teach them to start praying, not for just themselves, but their family members as well. And they would start to hear from family members they hadn't heard from in years, and start to see relationships healed that had been stressed for years. And then as the class would re-up again, then they would start bringing their family members in. So it was really amazing to see the Lord work, because he wants everybody back. He doesn't want just the few. He's created everybody. And he wants that restoration and healing for whosoever.
Amen. And, you know, I think the scripture says that Jesus said he doesn't desire any to perish, but all to come to repentance and to return to him. And it's part of it. Mm-hmm. While we have you on the line, Everett, we've got a Curtis from Texas is on the line, and he just wanted to make a comment, I think, if we can bring him on here. Curtis, are you there?
Okay.
Curtis, are you there? Well, maybe not. He had made a comment that, you know, this deliverance, that it certainly builds your confidence, and it helps as the Holy Spirit does, I think is what he said, in allowing you to discern, to be able to see the lies when those are...
Exactly.
And I guess we just lost you there, Curtis, but my apologies. But I think we got your comment across there, but so we'll go right ahead, Kim and Mr. Cox.
Well, on these ungodly soul ties, when we finally learned to do that at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, it made a huge difference. It was amazing the changes that would take place, a major area of ministry, to the point that we today, the model of ministry that we use, after the interview, when I assign a minister to each person, and we spread around the church on Monday nights, so it's private-like, and that's after the door-closing prayer. But the minister, that's the first thing that he or she will do with the person, is take them through the breaking of ungodly soul ties that have developed. Mm-hmm. Often there's ungodly soul ties with parents, even.
Exactly. Exactly, there are. And a lot of times, too, you'll find that control and manipulation between parent and child. Or if there's been, like you said, the sexual abuse in the family, and then that control or secrecy and such, there's a lot that needs to be healed and cut from that, so that there can be a healing for the person that comes in. And as I would teach the class, you know, you can see it in the medical field will describe it as, they'll look for generational illnesses and such. And then also just in when you would talk about different sexual partners for your medical, in the medical field, that's exactly how people are tied together as well when we talk about past partners and such. And people just, you know, they're shocked that we're talking about such things and dealing with those things that's not a godly tie. You know, that is not the tie that God meant for you to have. And so also breaking that as well.
That's right.
Any past partners or bosses or parents or that wasn't a godly tie.
We call it the sexual group. We call it the sexual group, Kim, and that's one of the checklist items to ask the person and then take them through breaking. There's a prayer we use in breaking ungodly soul ties with that sexual group, including ex-spouses even. We run into that constantly. And it's a great area of ministry. People and demons, of course, are coming through those ungodly soul ties. That's a door that needs to be closed and then cast out the related spirits. That's what we do in the process. So it's just another area of ministry in this deliverance world that helps people go forward and start really enjoying life abundant.
Exactly.
Well, I was sharing earlier, Kim, I had a really good case Monday night, got the head demon up, and it was pretty interesting. The head demon could see the angels. Of course, we always ask the angels to circle around us, and the warring angels to pull their swords, and the head demon was the destroyer, but that demon could see the angels around us. The swords were drawn, and I finally even said, "Well, which of the warring angels looks the meanest to you?" And immediately, this guy's arm shot up at an angle, and I therefore assigned that warring angels to discipline this demon in the event it did not cooperate. Later, the man told me, he said he could hear the demon talking through him. It's kind of like he was in the back seat, and he could hear it. But he wondered, he did realize his arm went up to point at that angel, but he didn't understand why his arm went up at the time. And then another time, I caught the demon lying. There's a way you have to pin them down. Will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit? And I found, I caught it lying, and so I had that warring angel then discipline with three hard jabs of the sword, and this guy's sitting in his chair, and he's actually jerking three hard times. When I asked the man after the deliverance about that, he didn't remember that happened at all. But that was a manifestation. I was wondering if he felt those jabs, but he didn't feel them at all. The demon did.
No.
Because I said to it, "Well, how'd that feel?" And the classic answer that they usually give is, "Not good." And I said, "Well, it's going to get worse than that if you don't cooperate. Is that understood?" Yes. Usually they'll straighten up after one or two times of that. The warring angels intimidate them big time. And what's cool is to find out we can call on the angels directly. For years I thought we had to go through the Godhead to do it. But if you look at Hebrews 1:14, the angels are to be of service to the heirs of salvation. And we, being joint heirs with Jesus, we can call on the angels directly to help us as needed. I like them having our back. Amen. What's
absolutely
better to have these warring angels, these huge angels that intimidate the demons, to be there for our asking? And that's something Christians need to learn more of. I didn't know it for a number of years to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Even when while preparing, when we go into different churches, we would ask the angels to come and help, cleanse the land or cleanse the property and such as we get ready to do ministry. So you're exactly right. They are to our beck and call. Absolutely.
You know, while you're not a part directly of our ministry in Oklahoma City, you being up in Kansas, anybody that actually does this long enough will tend to do it kind of the same way. Would you agree with that, Kim?
I agree with that. And as I... Go ahead. As I was...
I'm
sorry?
No, go ahead.
as I was reading through your materials and such, we did have follow the similar lines a lot. And as I had gone through different seminars and trainings and such over the years, everybody does tend to get back to the same ground of just that cleansing of the person and rebuking the demons and commanding them to leave and then learning to walk it out afterward to keep that freedom. So you're right.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Cox, we have John, the next caller, on. It looks like I can only get one line in at a time. But
okay. Well, Kim, is there anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
No, I just thank you so much for your ministry, though. It's such a needed ministry, and there are so many people in need, and I'm glad you were able to step up and to help so many people at a time. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful evening. Okay.
Thank you, Kim, for sharing. Blessings to you.
Thank you, Kim. And let's see if we can bring Mr. John on. Hey, good evening, John.
How are you? Good evening.
Hi, John. Thanks for calling in.
Hello, Mr. Everett Cox. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm blessed, and I know you are, too.
Yes, I am very much so.
I would ask you to call in, maybe thinking you could share how you first learned about this works of Jesus and the practicality of it for Christians, and then to share anything that the Lord might lead you to about your experiences you've had. When did you first learn about this? How long ago?
Originally, I had an attorney in my offices that I had named one of your good friends, Tom Massey. He would bring people into the office and pray with them, and then Tom introduced him to you. I went to several meetings in Tulsa and there in Oklahoma City and basically learned, you know, coming from a Baptist background to learning about more about the demonic people, what's going on. And it was very interesting because my wife and I, we are very bold people and we're very forward people. And of course, you know, you say demon to us, well, I'm one of those type of people. Well, then I want to kick his butt for Jesus.
Yeah, right. John, by the way, you might back off from your cell phone or telephone a little bit. It's kind of overdriving it.
Okay. Is this better?
So, that's a lot better. So, okay. Go ahead and share some more on as you start learning about this, what all went on.
I didn't hear you do what now?
What all went on as you started learning about it, some of the experiences
we had. We have gone and prayed with people, and we have discerned and seen a lot of people delivered from these demons. We have seen knots raised on people's heads. We have seen people, like in your office, you know, slither out of a chair. We've actually had them spit at us and just their eyes roll back in there. We've seen so many things. And of course, talking with you, you know what I do for a living, and I enjoy talking to them. I enjoy it very much so. And living in the demonic world and what I do in the properties and stuff, you know, I actually I enjoy seeing who I'm talking to. I like to call the head demon out. I really do. I see it every night. Being in, we work the ghettos and we work the gang units, and we work the worst parts of the world, and so we get a really opportunity to testify to people, to talk to people and look these people face to face. And it's really challenging, and it's really a great opportunity for people like me. Now, some of the guards that work for me, they're a little spooked because they don't know what I'm doing. And it, you know, and when you call out, you walk by and you say, you know, who's the head demon? Now, if you walk up to a group of Crips or Bloods, say, who's the head demon here? And all of a sudden they spit at you or growl at you, or their face changes, or they act like they're going to chew you up like the Walking Dead. You know, it's quite entertaining for me because, you know, being a child of God, and, you know, it's so much fun because you can literally, I don't even know how to explain it. You can literally, it's so interesting to me to get someone, to get a demon to talk to me, you know, they do it all the time. You would be amazed when you do that because you can connect with them immediately, and you can actually watch them. You can draw the demon out of them, and it's an amazing situation. Especially, I had one early last year that he was selling drugs, and he was just hot, so high, and we hooked him up. When PD got there, they changed handcuffs and put him in the back of the car. I came in late. I walked over and I said, you know, who are you? What demon are you? And he said, and in the deepest low voice, I'm Death, and you're on my list. And I said, wonderful. That's what I like to hear. I said, you know, in Jesus' name, you know, you have no rights. We have all power over you. He literally started squirming. He got so upset, he kicked the window out of the police car, and it threw him into a tantrum. And, of course, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that, but I enjoy doing that. I enjoy taunting them because being a Jesus follower, it's so interesting to me because I want to taunt these people. And maybe I'm wrong, Everett, you can tell me. But,
well, you're demonstrating the power that Christians have. Of course, what you're dealing with, John, is quite different than what we typically deal with in the ministry itself, because people are coming seeking for help, and they've got all these problems going on, and we're taking them through a door-closing prayer that's designed to close
right.
the doors that the demons came through in the first place. So you're right,
right.
on the front line, just butting heads with a demonic. And but it, what you're sharing there is how the power in the name of Jesus nevertheless will go forth,
right.
And you can control these demons that are manifesting in these thugs and drug people, etc. It's an awesome thing that we really do have all power if we use it.
It is so absolutely amazing that if people would know and use this in their lives. It's like when we feel like, my wife and I feel like there is something in the house or something here that has came in, we pray over the house. It is such an amazing opportunity that it's filling. I can't even explain it because, you know, there is so much out there, Everett, and you have taught us so much that, I can't even explain it. You know, I go and you get to where you told me one time many years ago that you will get to where you can feel people that are demonically filled. And yes, you're right. You can actually do that. And just to release them and do that, and with Jesus giving us this power, it's phenomenal. It is just absolutely, it's so exhilarating. It's like right now, just talking about it, I'm just pumped up. I mean, I'm just wired because I want to go out and do it now. I just want to jump right in the middle of it.
Well, obviously,
it's so wonderful. Jesus is so wonderful. I can't even explain
to go after them. We have the advantage of deliverance ministries by contrast, again, of what you're dealing with there in the security business, in that the people, we're able to take them through all the preparation, and
yes.
and therefore our ministry sessions typically are very, very low-key. We
right.
seldom have outcries these days because we've gotten so good at the door-closing prayer. Takes about 15-20 minutes repeat after me thing, and it's designed
right.
to break the typical generational curses and especially to work on the unforgiveness that most people are carrying, because as Jesus said, Matthew 18:34-35, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors, and that is a huge door. That's really the biggest of the 15 doors we recognize. The demons can come through to torment Christians. So spend quite a bit of time allowing the person to work on the forgiving part, including forgiving themselves, which is a major door right there. That and see, demons have legal rights to stay. We can't get the demons out, typically,
right.
Until people have cleaned out all the unforgiveness. And every now and then, I run into demons that have a legal right to be because a person is blaming God for something that's happened in their life. They're not thinking about the strings that Satan is pulling to steal, kill, and destroy, and not realizing
right.
it's our Jesus that came and we have life and life abundant. And so they're blaming God. Well, demons hold on to that. I run into that where I can't get the demons out until they finally forgive God for forgiveness themselves, repenting of blaming Him for things that happened when it was Satan that was doing it. So it's kind of complicated in a way, but we put it together pretty well in this door closing prayer, where the end result of that is that it's very low key. People do yawn, cough, or burp them out, but it's not a big deal. And
right.
in fact, it's kind of nice in a way. You know something's coming out when they're doing that. And normally, most people will unload about 36 spirits. The man I worked
right.
with Monday night, he actually had 42. I got the head demon
wow.
up in him, and he had a total of 42 demons. The head demon was the destroyer, and the executive officer was fear. And then these others were under their authority.
Well, we see a lot of fear and destroyer. We do see that.
Sure.
And we were praying with a lady not long ago, and when we hit fear, that was the main head demon that she had. And,
yeah.
you know, in the door-closing prayer that you have, and when we walk people through this, it is amazing. This world is just something else, and people are literally living in fear. And it's just as we talked about. It's quite something. And so many good people that are bound up really bad. And
yes,
it just seems like it is just absolutely awesome. But we've seen so much. I understand, why that you came up with this, because I guess you could say maybe I'm one of the nuts. I like to see a manifest and run around. I don't know. I like to do that because it's normally between, 10 and 5 in the morning when we do this, and it's the worst of the worst out there. And maybe I shouldn't, but it's so interesting. And being a Christ follower, I feel like, I have the right, and I want to torment them like they torment us and people.
Well, and
I don't know.
And to those that are seeing that, even the person themselves, so many times the person's kind of in the back when the demon is manifesting, and they do see out and they hear what's going on, and that'll plant seeds for them that they do have demonic activity in their life. and hopefully at some point they would actually seek freedom.
Well, you know, and we tell a lot of people, I tell a lot of people, that, you know, your life is not ever going to be right until you are delivered and from these this demonic activity, and not just the people, just normal people. I don't know. It's been such a blessing. It's an absolute awesome perspective on the way to look at it, because there's not many people, you know, that do this. And, you know, it's hard to exorcise the demons out of yourself. It really is, unless you have someone there with you. And a lot of people don't know how to do it. You have just perfected the way that it works really great, because, as you know, there's times, sometimes, that I have to come in and see you, because, you know, even I get, you know, to the point that I need your help. And it's, but people, we see it every day. If they would just come and recognize why their life is not like it's supposed to be, why things don't happen like they want, just different things, and that's what it is. It's the demonic spirits that are controlling their life, and they don't really even know it. So, and that's not the people I work with. That's just normal people on the street. You've just created such an awesome program that, it's just great, and it we love it. I mean, it's fantastic, and we constantly say the door closing prayer. We constantly, my wife, Garcia, and I, we do this just because we have to. My sister, Deborah, and, you know, you're always dragging one of them back around. You know, you fight them and you talk to them. It's just, well, it's an everyday fight is what it is. You know, when you get up in the morning and you ask Jesus to please protect you today, bring his warring angels down around you, watch your back, take care of you, let everything go good that day, that's great. And it works really well. The days that you don't do it so much, you can really tell a difference. And you're right on what you're saying.
You know, I see it very clear now why Jesus so adamantly commanded believers in Mark 16:17 to cast demons out, because most people have them, including Christians. Now, I have seen cases where people do get set free when they get born again, but I'd have to say that's kind of rare, because when they're born again, they're born into the body of Christ. Their spirit man is totally secure in Jesus, but they have a body and they have a soul area, and that's where the demons so typically hang out. And most of them, we find, have not gone. They've come through generational doors and so on. But because the person is born again, now he has the ability to deal with the demons and cast them out and get freedom. The body of Christ overall has a long ways to go in that. And I was just like that. I was age 44 before I got introduced to this. And I was just like everyone else. I didn't know the demons were around causing all these kinds of problems. And I certainly didn't know that we had all power in Jesus' name. I was born again when I was 13, but I didn't know these things.
Well, that's like us so when we were there, because we just watched Tom Matthew, and this was in 1984, and I'm 60, and so I was about 30-some years old and a Christian, and had no idea that, you know, they're there. I hadn't been introduced to him, and then Tom had told me about him, said to come and go to Tulsa, and then we got to meet you and watch this, and it just makes sense. I mean, and we watch it work every day. I wish more people could be introduced to this. I see so many people, especially young people, that are just bound down. Young married people, older people, I just wish they could all see it and believe in it, because a lot of people, you know how they are, they're going, they just don't understand when you're set free, You know, it's like the day after I left your office that day. I felt so much lighter. I felt so much greater. It's just, I wished everybody could go through this. It would be so great. It really would.
Well, that's why we're on the radio tonight, John, is telling it and sharing. Hopefully there's some listeners out there that are hearing this and will start to search and learn about this. It's all in the scriptures, and to learn the practicality of it today. That's why we're on the air.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is to the listeners that are out there, Mr. Cox, I have known since about 1985. What he says is true. If you will search this out, I've seen it. I mean, I've seen knots raised on people's head. I've seen them growl at you. I've seen them show their teeth to you. I've seen them slither out of the chair. I've seen so many things. I mean, I their voice will change. Just, it's amazing what you see. Please do what Mr. Cox asks and seek this out, because I can't explain to you more than the devil is so alive and so strong that we have to fight him. And with us having all power, search this out. This is the truth. I mean, Mr. Cox, I'm just sort of a rogue person that enjoys defeating Satan. I'd love to step on his neck. I love every opportunity I get to defeat him. There's nothing like the feeling of this. So if you're having problems, please come to Oklahoma City, see Mr. Cox, or search this out, because this is a real deal. I mean, he's alive and well, and you can fight him. I mean, you have all power. Isn't that right, Mr. Cox? We have all power.
Yes, and even a promise that nothing will harm us, and that Luke 10:19. Yes. And, of course, when the typical 36 demons are cast out of a Christian, it's the real person that's left now, unhindered by those demons, which have been blocking their ministry and the use of their God-given gifts and talents and destiny. So that is why Jesus commanded believers to do this. And we got a long ways to go, but at least we're into it. Amen?
Well, men, we have all power and authority, but we're out of time tonight. Anyway.
Okay.
So thanks for joining us. And thank you, John, for calling.
Thank you very much.
John.
I sure do appreciate it. Thank you, Everett.
God bless you, brother.
All right. Thank you. Well, Mr. Cox, again, thank you once again for coming in on Wednesday night. And we carry the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. We encourage you to get it. It's available through Scriptures for America. And then DeliveranceUSA.org, I think that's the website. Is that correct?
.com.
DeliveranceUSA.com. So, again, thanks for joining us. God bless. Have a great evening.
God bless.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died.